be a slave and say that you don't love. If she's real, we say she's trying to be a man. While putting her down, we pretend that she's above us.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Kirby Dick, who is an Academy Award and Emmy-nominated documentary director whose films include Outrage, This Film Was Not Yet Rated, Twist of Faith, and his most recent, The Invisible War, a groundbreaking investigation into the epidemic of rape within the U.S. Armed Forces, the institutions that perpetuate and cover up its existence, and its profound personal and social consequences. The film won the Audience Award at the 2012 Sundance Film Festival and was nominated for this year's Academy Award. Welcome to Background Briefing, Kirby Dick.
Thank you. Glad to be on your show.
And you were at Wednesday's hearings in the Capitol, the Senate Armed Services Subcommittee on Personnel. And I take it that some of the women that testified about what has happened to them in serving this country, it's just shattering. I mean, it's shattering to read. So tell me what it was like, for example, to hear Sergeant Rebecca Havrilla.
The testimony was very devastating. Some of the people who were testifying yesterday were, these are very patriotic people who went in the military, actually, you know, throughout the last several decades, they went in the military wanting a career, wanting to serve their country. They were sexually assaulted, raped, actually. And then when they had the courage to come forward and report, the military turned on them. So it was just, it was really tragic to hear their stories, and they were very, very powerful stories.
Well, in the case of Sergeant Rebecca Havrilla, who was a lone female member of a bomb squad in eastern Afghanistan, she was raped just before she was supposed to go back to the United States. She went to a military chaplain who said it must have been God's will for her to have been raped. And the person who raped her posted pictures of the rape on a pornographic website. So she was doubly violated. I find it just incomprehensible that this has been going on for some time and has not been addressed. What was your sense of whether or not there's going to be a sea change here?
Well, the hearings were historic yesterday. It, not only was the victim's testimony so powerful, but they also had a number of two-star and three-star generals from all branches actually testified as well. And the Senate, particularly Senator, the senators there, particularly Senator Gillibrand, Senator Mikulski, Senator Rono, were very aggressive in their questioning of them, and actually very passionate in their statements that they were really outraged that this had gone on for so long, and that these branches, the heads of these branches, were still insisting that structural changes not be made to address this issue.
Well, actually, I should have to correct what I said, Kirby Dick. Sergeant Havrilla was violated three times. She was raped. The rape was posted on a pornographic website. And then when she went to her commanders for justice, they dismissed her complaints. So that is unfortunately not unusual, is it?
No, that's very, very common. In fact, in the making of our film, The Invisible War, we spoke to hundreds of survivors, and nearly every person who reported their assault, the military turned on them. And what we heard yesterday is echoed by hundreds of thousands of survivors over the last several decades. It's not uncommon at all. And what really needs to be done is the decisions to investigate and prosecute these crimes have to be moved outside of the chain of command, so there isn't a conflict of interest. As long as it's in the chain of command, You will have people reporting and then commanders covering it up or doing everything they can to cover it up. And not only is that bad enough, but what happens is people don't report when they know that there's this kind of situation. Right now, only 14% of men and women report at all. And we know that most of these assaults are caused by serial predators who assault again and again. So every time someone doesn't report, a serial predator goes on to assault again and again. So there has to be the structural change of moving it outside the chain of command. The military is fighting back on this. They're fighting back hard. But the good news is, for the first time, there are very powerful senators are confronting the military about making this change. And it's also happening to some degree in the House now. So we're encouraged, but there's a long way to go.
Again, I'm speaking with Kirby Dick, who's an Academy Award and Emmy-nominated documentary director, whose films include Outrage, This Film Is Not Yet Rated, Twist of Faith, and his most recent, The Invisible War, a groundbreaking investigation into the epidemic of rape within the U.S. Armed Forces, the institutions that perpetuate and cover up its existence, and its profound personal and social consequences. The film won the Audience Award at the 2012 Sundance Film Festival and was nominated for this year's Academy Award. Now, there is, of course, right on the front burner now, a pretty glaring example of what you were just talking about, Kirby, with the overturning of a sexual assault conviction of Lieutenant Colonel James Wilkinson, who's a pilot and inspector general of the 31st Fighter Wing in Aviano Air Base in Italy. He was found guilty of sexual assault and sentenced by a jury, but then Lieutenant General Craig Franklin overturned the decision and the conviction and allowing him to go free and to be reinstated into the Air Force. This apparently has been brought to the new Secretary of Defense, Chuck Hagel's attention, and he has apparently ordered a review of the case as well as the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So let's start with the Uniform Code of Military Justice. What kind of loophole is in that to allow this to happen?
Well, the loophole, again, goes back to this issue of the power of the chain of command. The convening authority, which in this case is probably a one- or two-star general, has the power to decide whether even to take a case to court-martial at all. If the investigator can come to him saying, we have a slam-dunk case, and he or she can just, the convening authority can just say, no, we don't want to move forward for whatever reason whatsoever. If they do move forward, the convening authority picks the jury, which is in this case was four colonels and a lieutenant colonel, picks the judge, and then, you know, in this case, they found this person guilty of sexual assault. And then after that, the convening authority can review that, even though it's decided by a jury, and decide to throw out any and all charges. And in the language, in the UCMJ, it says, for any reason or no reason. He can do it just on his own whim. If he decides he likes the person, which in this case we believe that he had an association with this person, that he was, we don't know if he was good friends, but he knew this person, even though in the hearing, an Air Force, the judge advocate general said he didn't believe he did. I think that is incorrect. So this is the problem. So much power is vested in one person who in this case probably knew the assailant and probably, I would imagine, for personal reasons, certainly influenced his decision to overturn a jury's decision.
And the victim in this case, in the Wilkinson case that was overturned by the general, was a civilian physician assistant.
Yes, but in most cases, because the accused, in this case, the convicted, convicted by a jury, the assailant was within the military. It was tried in the military. It's interesting. Even many times, if people are assaulted off a base and they go to civilian authorities, oftentimes the civilian authorities refer them back to the military authorities. So the military, you know, has an inordinate amount of power over all these cases, and unless they correct, you know, these significant structural problems that have been in existence for a long, long time, they will continue to have, these thousands and thousands of sexual assaults a year. 19,000 men and women are sexually assaulted each year.
Well, apparently, Senators Barbara Boxer and Jean Shaheen wrote to Hagel, particularly about this case. And he said he had no authority under the Uniform Code of Military Justice to overturn Franklin's decision. So Chuck Hagel's...
That is astounding. I mean, this one person who's the convening authority, who has the power even decide to investigate, chooses the jury, chooses the judge. Also, if he decides to throw out the conviction, neither the chief of staff of the Air Force nor the Secretary of Defense nor the Commander-in-Chief himself can overturn that decision. That's how much power this convening authority has. That's what has to be changed. Now, there was a reason for it to exist 200 years ago. I mean, you know, a unit might be out in the field days, weeks away from anyone else, and the convening authority had to have that authority. But that's no longer the case. And it was very interesting. Senator Gillibrand asked a three-star general in the Air Force about this. He said, was justice done in this case? I mean, and this general would not say that that justice was not done, even though, again, you know, this lieutenant colonel was convicted by a jury of his peers.
So it sounds like, though, that there is a problem in the Air Force, because the other scandal-plagued place is Lackland Air Force Base in Texas, yep, along with Aviano in a NATO base in Italy. Apparently, there are 62 female trainees at Lackland who have come forward saying that they've been sexually assaulted or harassed by their training instructors. So what's going on at Lackland?
Well, yes, this is a growing scandal. I mean, this is something that has been growing over the last year. I think you'll even see more and more victims coming forward. I do want to say that this is not a problem just confined to the Air Force, unfortunately. This is a problem across all branches. It just happens to be that these latest scandals that came forward relate to the Air Force. But I'm sure there's many, many more scandals we're not hearing about in all the other branches. But one of the things that's very interesting about, and I found this out anecdotally at least from talking to the hundreds of survivors, a lot of these assaults take place in training environments like Lackland, where you have these recruits coming out of boot camp, very idealistic, trusting everybody at the bottom of the chain of command, going into a situation to get advanced training, and then getting befriended by like a trainer who's obviously way up the chain of command or someone else who's a serial predator, who befriends them, sets them up, and assaults them. And then they know, because they're so well respected, the assailant is so well respected, they know that even if the person comes forward to report, that person won't be believed, or that it's just not worth it for the commander to go after a star trainer. It's just not worth it. So what happens is these people then, they're only in the training environment for about 8 weeks. They leave, and then the trainer, who is a serial predator, when the next group comes in, picks out another victim to assault. And you see this again and again and again. I saw this again and again and again talking to the subjects in our film. I mean, it was just astonishing. The military has to look at all its training environments. I think that's where a good deal of these assaults are going on. Not to say that they're not going on in a lot of other places. They are, but I think it's concentrated in those environments.
So in the making of your film, which was nominated for this year's Academy Award in the feature documentary category, Kirby Dick, The Invisible War, what was your conclusion about the psychology of men in uniform who see women as just a piece of meat that's on their plate, and that they don't seem to have any compulsion about ravaging them, and they don't seem to have any guilt about it. So what is it in the military culture that allows for that kind of dehumanization of a fellow soldier?
Well, certainly there is significant misogyny within the military. I don't think anybody would deny that. But I do want to say that most men are horrified. Most men are not sexual predators. They're not rapists. And most men are horrified by this. These assaults are being committed by a small minority of serial predators who have been allowed to get away with it again and again. They really, the military has an embedded serial predator problem that it hasn't addressed. And that's the real problem. And these serial predators, they have absolutely no respect for their victims whatsoever. I mean, these are people that have to be caught and incarcerated. In the military, again, it has a broken criminal justice system, this conflict of interest allows commanders to let these people go, and that has to be changed. So I just want to clarify, I do think there's cultural issues here within the military. There is a problem with the military culture. I think the military, particularly since the Invisible War, the film came out, is trying to address that. They have a long way to go. Where they're really falling short is going after these serial predators. They tell me personally, I was in the Pentagon, they say, you can't prosecute your way out of this. Yes, you can. The most important thing for them to do is go after these serial predators who have probably assaulted 20 people or more, and probably will go on to assault another 20 people or more, then leave with honorable discharges and then assault civilians. They need to put these people behind bars. The military has the capability to do this. They just have to change their system so they get it done.
Yeah, but what explains, Kirby Dick, what explains the cover-ups by higher-ups, officers who either tell the victims to go away and suck it up or know what's happened and yet forgive or free or give these predators a free pass, as opposed to be the case with General Franklin letting
right.
Colonel Wilkerson free?
Yeah. I mean, in many cases, these serial predators are actually star performers. And so, and I don't know if this is the case, and I know this was true, actually, in the Wilkerson case. So I don't know if Franklin, in this case, there's no excuse for Franklin overturning a jury. But in some cases, when somebody at the bottom of, a victim who's at the bottom of the just very low ranking comes forward and accuses a star performer, and the commander knows the star performer may have known them for a long time and trusts them, then they oftentimes make incorrectly the decision to not prosecute. Serial predators, to investigate and prosecute sexual assault crimes is very, very difficult. And people seem to think, commanders seem to think that they can tell who's a serial predator. You can't. That's why the decision has to be moved away from these commanders to trained prosecutors. They can be within the military, but trained prosecutors who know how to investigate and prosecute these crimes. It's not being done. That's why these serial predators are not being prosecuted or not being prosecuted effectively.
So given that the ban on women in combat was just lifted in January, is that likely to change the atmosphere? Because now you've got women fighting right next to men. Is that going to make a difference?
this is something that's long overdue. I'm completely in favor of it because for one thing, it gives it real opportunity for advancement, and without that, women are second class citizens. And we know if that's the case, there's more harassment, and we know if there's more harassment within a unit, it really allows serial predators to operate more freely. So in that regard, it will over time, I think, affect this. Reduce the amount of sexual assault in the military. Not necessarily by a lot, but I think it will have a positive effect. Again, where they're falling down is they're not prosecuting. They're not going after serial predators. And you ask, well, why? What's wrong with the military? Why aren't they getting a grip on this? I think, the military, like any other powerful institution, like Penn State, like the Catholic Church, their first instinct is to cover this up, even whether it's on a commander level or across the force. They want to cover this up, and that's why it's so important that Congress in this country put pressure on them to change this. I mean, they can do that. In some ways, they're better situated to go after serial predators than the civilian world is. But right now, they're failing miserably.
Well, just in closing, Kirby Dick, since you attended Wednesday's Senate hearings before the Armed Services Subcommittee on Personnel on the issue of rape in the military and the compounding victimization of women who have been raped, you mentioned a number of the senators, Kirsten Gillibrand and others, who were in attendance, but who was there on the Republican side?
Well, Senator Lindsey Graham was trying to sort of defend the status quo, saying that, we shouldn't judge the entire system by this one Franklin Wilkerson case. Well, we know that this is just one case among thousands and thousands. And so that is, to get anything through Congress, there has to be a bipartisan effort. But there's a lot of work to do, and I think the military is counting on, in this case, the minority party in the Senate, the Republican Party, sort of to defend the status quo. What was good to see, though, is the level of outrage from senators. 2 years ago, it was almost impossible for me to even get a senator to go on camera and speak in my film about this issue. So to see senators outraged, going after the military brass with very hard questions and getting the kind of coverage it has, I think is a really important first step. And I think there's momentum here, one of the things we're doing, sort of behind the scenes is trying to reach out not only to the Democratic side but to the Republican side as well, because we feel this should be a bipartisan issue. We think everybody can agree that, we should defend, we should protect the men and women who are protecting us. So we're hopeful that this pressure will continue to build and the Republican side will come around as well. There are Republicans in the House, in particular Representative Mike Turner, who's been a real fighter on this for a long, long time. And he appeared in our film, and he was very outspoken on this when even many Democrats weren't. So, nothing can happen in Congress without bipartisan support. So we're trying to build that.
Well, Kirby Dick, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Kirby Dick, who's an Academy Award and Emmy-nominated documentary director whose films include Outrage, This Film Was Not Yet Rated, Twist of Faith, and his most recent, The Invisible War, a groundbreaking investigation into the epidemic of rape within the U.S. Armed Forces, the institutions that perpetuate and cover up its existence, and its profound personal and social consequences. The film won the Audience Award at the 2012 Sundance Film Festival and was nominated for this year's Academy Award. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back and get an update from CPAC, the conservative gathering just outside of Washington.
I used to sail the deep and tranquil sea. But it washed me ashore and it took my